الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب قول الله تعالى ومن أظلم ممن ذكر بآيات ربه فأعرض عنها الآية. The chapter on the statement of Allah the Most High, and who does more wrong than he who is reminded, than he who is reminded of the ayat of his Lord, but turns away from them, until the end of the verse. The verse in continuation or in entirety, it reads, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا وَنَسِيَ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهِ. And who does more wrong, and who is more oppressive? And here the istifham is not to ask a question, but rather to establish that this is a firm negation, meaning no one is more wrong or unjust or oppressive than the one who is reminded and admonished with the verses of his Lord. Then he turns away from them, forgetting that which his hands have worked. And who does more wrong? Meaning that no one is more wrong. No one is more wrong or unjust than he who is reminded of the ayat. مَنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ. Who is reminded of the ayat of his Lord. أَيْ ذُكِّرَ بِهَا يَنِي وُعِضَ بِهَا. Any meaning he's admonished by way of them. He's reprimanded and admonished by way of them. No one is more unjust than this person who is reminded and admonished by the ayat of his Lord. But then he turns away from them, forgetting what deeds his hands have sent forth, and he forgetting the actions that he had proceeded upon, and neglecting his faith in his soul. إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ أَكِنَّةً أَنْ يَفْقَهُوهُ وَفِي آذَانِهِمْ وَقَرًا. And these individuals here, and this is similar to that which has preceded the outcome from turning away from the guidance that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that truly we have set veils over their hearts lest they should understand, and in order so that they do not understand. And they have been forbidden and prohibited from benefiting from the light and the guidance of the Quran and the Sunnah because of their negligence and turning away from the clear signs and evidences and proofs that Allah has revealed to His prophets and messengers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. And in their ears there is deafness, meaning they are not able to hear the truth. So their hearts have veils on them, and the truth is not able to reach, and they're not able to comprehend and understand the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And likewise, their ears have samam in them, yani waqar, saman wa thiqal, yani something in their ears that's prohibiting them from benefiting from that which they hear from the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is all the outcome of this affair. وَالْجَزَاءُ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ. And to the extent Allah He mentions about them, when تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَى الْهُدَى فَلَنْ يَهْتَدُوا إِذًا أَبَدًا. And if you were to call them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to guidance, then they will never be guided ever. And this is in reference to those people whom Allah has decreed that they will never benefit from the guidance. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the point is the dangers of turning away from the Qur'an and being negligent and heedless with regards to the Qur'an. And we have seen in our previous classes that this occurs in a number of manners. Turning away entirely and disbelieving in it. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. But also turning away from it in application. So this rejection and turning away from the Qur'an and being preoccupied with this worldly life, many times this proceeds from having arrogance in the heart. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. And sufficing with what one is upon. The author, he says, after this, قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْكِبْرُ بَطْرُ الْحَقِّ وَغَمْطُ النَّاسِ. That arrogance and pride is rejecting the truth and belittling the people. الْكِبْرُ بَطْرُ الْحَقِّ وَغَمْطُ النَّاسِ. That arrogance is rejecting the truth and belittling the people. And Nawawi, he mentioned in Riyad al-Salihin, rahimahullah ta'ala, بَطْلُ الْحَقِّ أَيْ رَدَّهُ عَلَى قَائِلِهِ وَغَمْطُ النَّاسِ أَيْ إِحْتِقَارُهُمْ وَالِازْدِرَاءُ بِهِمْ. That بَطْلُ الْحَقِّ, to reject the truth, يَنِي رَدَّهُ عَلَى قَائِلِهِ, to reject it from the one who was saying it, and غَمْطُ النَّاسِ, to belittle the nas, yani ihtiqarahum. Yani ihtiqarahum. I'm not sure, but if anyone is taking pictures, please, barakallahu fikum, do not do that. And if I'm wrong, please excuse me. But if I'm not wrong, then I request that you erase those pictures or those videos. We do not allow images to be taken, and it's not something that pleases us. We prefer that you will just listen attentively, and I hope that you benefit. Barakallahu fikum. So the author, he says, "Batru al-kibru batru al-haq wa ghamtu al-nafs." This is a narration which is collected by Muslim from the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, "La yadkhulu jannata man kana fi qalbihi mithqalu dharratin min kibrin." Ma kana fi qalbihi mithqalu dharratin min kibrin. That the one who has a particle's weight of pride or arrogance in his heart will not enter paradise. He will not enter paradise. And the one who has the smallest amount of kibr, a dharra is a term used to refer to the smallest ant, and also other times it's used to refer to the dust particles that can be seen in the light. And whenever there's beams of light coming through the windows and the likes, many times you can see small little particles of dust floating in the air. This word is used to refer to these issues, and meaning the smallest amount. So لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة مثقال ذرة من كبر, that he will not enter paradise. The one who has in his heart the smallest amount, the smallest weight of arrogance and pride, he will not enter the paradise. So then a man says, إن الرجل يحب أن يكون ثوبه حسنا ونعله حسنة, that, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but a man, indeed he likes that his garment be nice and that his sandals be nice, and he likes to have nice clothing, to have a nice appearance, to have new shoes and the likes like this. And this man is thinking that possibly this is a type of pride and arrogance that could prohibit a person from entering paradise. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned this narration, called it, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيرٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ, that indeed Allah, He is the most beautiful and He loves beauty. That Allah, He is the most beautiful and He loves beauty. Al-kibr, batru al-haqi wa ghamtu al-nas. But arrogance, and that which is being referred to here, is that one will reject the truth and he will belittle the people. He will reject the truth and he will belittle the people. So the author, he mentions after this, rahimahullah ta'ala, wa ruwiya an ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, annahu qal, min akbar al-dhunubi, من أكبر الذنوب عند الله أن يقال للعبد اتق الله فيقول عليك بنفسك. It's narrated that Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, from the greatest sins with Allah is that it will be said to a slave, and it will be said to a person, اتق الله, fear Allah, fear Allah. And then this person, he will respond, you should worry about your own self, worry about your own self, وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. So this is from arrogance and pride. This is from arrogance and pride and rejecting the truth. It's been narrated from Umar radiallahu anhu that a man, he came to him and he said, اتق الله يا عمر, اتق الله يا عمر, and whenever he's the Amir, Amir al-Mu'mineen, fear Allah, Umar. And Umar, he responded radiallahu anhum, he said, he responded radiallahu anhu, لا خير فيكم إن لم تقولوه, لا خير فيكم إن لم تقولوه. You have, there's no good in you if you didn't say the likes of these words. ولا خير فينا إن لم نقبله منكم, إن نقبله إِلَّمْ نَقْبَلْهُ مِنْهُمْ, and there's no good in us if we didn't accept it from you. So a believer, he will accept that. And in any case, in any situation, regardless of how well one is striving or upright one may be, even in reality, whatever is said to him, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ, he would accept that. He would accept that. Even Allah, he mentioned to his Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِي, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ, oh, you Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fear Allah. So the one who was negligent in his faith, then this will encourage him to fear Allah and to rectify that deficiency. And the one who is striving in his faith, this would encourage him to remain steadfast and to increase in good. So a person would understand it in this manner, in a blameworthy way. Ittaqillah. Some people, they're like this. They become upset and the like, are sensitive whenever someone says the likes of these words. And this is from the best advice. This is from the best advice to fear Allah Azza wa Jalla. The point is to be cautious from rejecting the truth and being arrogant towards the truth whenever it comes. And this likewise leads an individual to belittle the people and to look down upon them. And this is all from pride and arrogance that will prohibit a person from entering the paradise, prohibiting a person from entering the paradise. These issues here, they're from the major sins. Al-kibr is from the major sins. Al-kibr is from the major sins. Al-ujub is from the major sins. Al-ghurur is from the major sins. Al-hiqd and the likes like this, al-hasad, these affairs are from the major sins that occur in the heart. The major sins that occur in the heart, and they're more destructive for a person's religion than many of the major sins that are performed with the body parts. They're more severe and more dangerous and more detestable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than many of the major sins that are performed with the body parts. Any of these lowly sins that occur with the heart, with the heart. The author, he says, وَفِي الصَّحِيحِ عَنْ أَبِي وَاقِدِنَ اللَّيْثِ رضي الله عنه أنه قال إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بينما هو جالس في المسجد والناس معه إذ أقبل ثلاثة نفر. This is the narration next. Is there another one next? So he said, "Rahimahullah." وفي الصحيح أن أبي واقد الليثي رضي الله عنه. And in the authentic collection, يعني in Bukhari and Muslim, يعني in Bukhari and Muslim, from the hadith of أبي واقد الليثي رضي الله عنه أنه قال إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بينما هو جالس في المسجد والناس معه إذ أقبل ثلاثة نفر. It's narrated by Abu Waqid in al-Laythi, yani in al-Bukhari and in Muslim. While the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in the masjid with some people, and from his companions, three men came. فَأَكْبَرَ إِثْنَانِ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وَذَهَبَ وَاحِدٌ. So two of them came in front of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the third one went away. قال فوقف على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He mentioned that these two people, they came and they kept on standing before the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم for a while. فأما أحدهما فرأى فرجة في الحلقة فجلس فيها وأما الآخر فجلس خلفهم وأما الثالث فأدبر ذاهبا. As for one of them, then he found a place in the circle and he sat down. And he sat down there while the other sat behind them, meaning behind the gathering, all of them entirety. And the third one went away. And in the first one, he looked around and he found the open space in the gathering. And he advanced and proceeded to the open space and sat down and joined the gathering. The second one, he looked around and he seen the crowd. And then he stood back and sat in the end of the gathering and did not join in. He's a part of them. He did not leave them. But he did not come upon them. Rather, he sat in the back of the gathering. And the third one, he proceeded and kept on going and left. He proceeded and kept on going and left. So he says, رضي الله عنه فلما فرغ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ألا أخبركم عن النفر الثلاثة. Whenever the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he finished his teaching and his admonishment, he said, shall I not tell you about these three people? Should I not tell you about these three people? I mean, this is something that they had all witnessed. You know, that these three men, they came through the masjid, and then two of them stopped for a moment, and one of them kept going. And then one of them advanced and found a space in the gathering and sat down, and the other one remained behind and sat in the back. And after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was finished, he asked him this question, shall I not tell you now about those three individuals who came that we've seen earlier? So he says, صلى الله عليه وسلم أما أحدهم فآوى إلى الله فآواه الله وأما الآخر فاستحيا الله منه وأما الآخر فأعرض الله عنه. One of them, he sought refuge with Allah, and so Allah granted him refuge and protection and mercy and His grace. And the second one felt shy, so Allah sheltered him in His mercy and was shy from him. So Allah was shy from him. So the second one felt shy, and Allah, he was shy from him. While the third turned his face away from Allah and went away, and so Allah turned his face from him likewise and went away. And in the third one, he turned away from the gathering where the remembrance of Allah is being mentioned, and Allah, he turned away from this individual likewise, So in this narration, there are a number of benefits. And from that is that clearly the one who is advancing upon knowledge and the gatherings of knowledge and listening to the legislative knowledge being clarified and being taught, and the admonishment and the likes, then he has taken refuge with Allah Azza wa Jal. And in this manner, he will have the protection of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the issue with regards to the first person. And as for the second person, it's mentioned that he was shy, istahya. And some of the people of knowledge mentioned that he was shy, meaning that he was walking by and he was going to proceed. Even in some of the wordings, that he was going to proceed. He even proceeded for a moment and then he was shy and he sat down. So Allah knows best, he was shy, meaning he was shy to come through the gathering and to see all of the people sitting in that manner and to not join them, and to not join them and to pass them by and to leave them. So he was shy in this manner. So it's mentioned here that Allah was shy from him. And this is from the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And we affirm them for Allah in a manner befitting His Majesty. And it's not like any type of shyness in the creation whatsoever, just like the rest of the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The life and the essence of Allah Azza wa Jalla is perfect and has no deficiency. And we do not know how that is. And we believe in Allah's perfect life and essence, and that His essence in life is perfect without any deficiency whatsoever, befitting His Majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. And based upon that, likewise, all of His attributes as well, His knowledge and His wisdom and His mercy and His love and His anger, and likewise the shyness here that is mentioned, and all of the rest of the attributes as well, His face and His hands subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of the attributes that are mentioned, we affirm them as Allah has affirmed them for Himself, or as His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has affirmed them for Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a manner befitting the Majesty of Allah Azza wa Jal. We do not know how the reality of that is. These are from the affairs of the unseen that we have not been informed of. What we have been informed of is that these attributes are established for Allah Azza wa Jal, but as for how they are, then this is something that Allah has kept with Himself subhanahu. So therefore we affirm them, and we do not deny what Allah has affirmed. And we have seen the likes of this in the previous class, and this is from speaking about Allah without knowledge. And those who do that, many times they will go to those unclear verses to establish their falsehood. As for the clear verses and the methodology of the righteous and pious and the firmly grounded in knowledge from the Sahaba and those after them, radiallahu anhum, then their methodology and their creed and their ways, as I have mentioned, that they affirmed these attributes in a manner befitting the Majesty of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they do not ask how. And they do not ask how. So the third one, he turned away. So likewise Allah, He turned away from him. And this is the point of evidence, that turning away from the gatherings of knowledge and turning away from learning the religion, in this manner a person is facing failure. In this manner, a person, he will be led to deviation and misguidance and be left to his own souls and his desires, and Allah will not aid him, nor will He help him. And Allah, He will not aid him, nor will He help him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's of utmost importance to have great concern for seeking knowledge and learning and sitting in the gatherings. Also from the benefits of this narration, we see that it's encouraged to sit in the masajid with the people of knowledge and to gather around them and to benefit and learn. And likewise, it's encouraged for the people of knowledge to sit in the masjid and to be available for the people to sit with them and to teach them. And this was the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise those after him upon that good way. And also it's encouraged as well to sit as close as one can to the teacher in order to benefit. And this is derived here from this individual. Whenever he came, he looked for a place and he found an opening and he moved forward and he sat down. So whenever we come to gatherings of knowledge and the likes like this, and also on the day of Jumu'ah, a person normally, whenever he comes to the gathering, he will come to the end of the gathering. He will sit in the place that is available for him that he comes to, and he will not step over the necks of the people. And the likes like this. This is rude and bad manners in the gatherings. But if the people in the gathering themselves, they left open spaces in the front or the likes like this, then to proceed to those open spaces is encouraged. And is something good. And it's not considered blameworthy. Rather, those people who proceeded and came first and left those spaces open and they themselves did not come, then they're considered blameworthy. So the one who comes first, then he should come closer. And then those who come later, they come to where they come in the places that are open. If it happens that there are empty spaces left in the front and a person, he comes later and he sees that, then he will advance and fill those empty spaces gently and with courtesy. gently and with courtesy. And there's no blame in this manner. And there's no blame in this manner. As for somebody who comes and is stepping over the people and he's being rude and the likes like this, forcing his way through, he comes late and then forces his way through the crowd to be in the front and the likes like this, or in the middle, whenever he is harming the people and there's truly not room suitable for him, yet he forces himself, so on and so forth. And this is not required, and this is not something that is praiseworthy. Rather, a person who will come to the masjid, will come to the gathering, or come to the Jumu'ah, and he will sit where the gathering ends, or the place that is available for him. But if it's possible to come close, alhamdulillah, a person, he will come close. And there are other narrations affirming the recommendation for the students of knowledge to sit close to the teacher. Who knows one of them? Hadith of Jibreel. فَجَاءَ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَأَسْنَدَ رُكْبَتَيْهِ إِلَى رُكْبَتَيْهِ وَوَضَعَ خَفَيْهِ عَلَى فَخِذَيْهِ فَقَالَ يَا مُحَمَّدُ أَخْبِرْنِي عَنْ الْإِسْلَامِ. We all know the hadith, alhamdulillah, the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam. Naam. So this is encouraged to sit close. That way a person, he can see the teacher and he can benefit from his manners and how he is directing the class and dealing with the affairs that occur in the class, so on and so forth, to benefit from his manners and from his conduct, and also from the methodology of teaching. All of this can be seen with the eye and also heard when one is up close, and also in order to benefit in a better manner, because most of the time, those students who are close, especially in the larger gatherings, for example, like gatherings in Medina, in Masjid al-Nabawi, like the gatherings of Sheikh Abdul Razak, for example, they're large. Or his father, Hafidhahumullah, they're large gatherings. They'll go into the back, and from the back, behind the Shaykh too, a long ways, a huge circle. So many times the students that are sitting close, they're well-mannered. And in order to sit close, you have to make great effort. You have to come before the class by an hour or 2 hours to sit close. So they're striving, and so they're well-mannered, and they came to benefit, and they're not wasting their time, and they're not bothering others. But the further you get it back from the circle, the more negligent the people come, and that's why they're late. Some of them have an excuse, but many of them, they're just negligent, or they're not really serious, or they're coming late, or they'll be back there on WhatsApp, and the likes like this, or some of them even on the phone, in the middle of the class, wa'liyadhu billah. So then if you're trying to study and you want to benefit, maybe your neighbor next to you is bugging you, asking you questions, or trying to talk to you, or he's actually talking to somebody else, or he's disturbing people with his phone, or it's beeping off and on left and right. So the point is to strive to be in the head of the gathering, to be in the head of the gathering in order to benefit. So this is derived from the likes of these narrations, and also. We see here that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is praising these people. He's mentioning them in a good light, and this is also allowed in certain circumstances in order to teach and to benefit the people. Without going to extremes in praising individuals, especially in their face. And also, it's allowed here as well to speak about the people of evil. I need to clarify their evil and their evil circumstances and situations, so the people will take precaution. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said about that man who left and did not sit down, fa'arada Allahu anhu. That's for the third one, then he turned away and showed no care or concern. And the arada an shay is to turn away from something and to have no care for it. Turn away from it like it's nothing. And this is what he did. And therefore Allah turned away from him. So the people of knowledge mentioned likewise that this individual here, and Allah knows best, he turned away with no excuse. He turned away and he left the gathering and had no care or concern to sit and listen to the knowledge, and he had no excuse. He turned away in this manner without any respect or honor or care for that which was being taught. And this is why he had this punishment here. As for if a person here were to come to a gathering of knowledge, or he were to come, for example, to the prayer, and then after the prayer there's a class and the likes like this, yet he has a prior obligation that he has to attend to, or something that's very important, and he's not able to stay for the class, so on and so forth, then he will be excused. As for this person here, Allah knows best, he was not excused. And the one who informed us of this is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alladhi la yantiku anil hawa. In huwa illa wahyun yuha. He's the one who does not speak from his desires. It is only a revelation that is revealed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is something that he was informed of and he knew. So it's very clear the dangers of turning away. The dangers of turning away from knowledge, and the dangers of turning away from the Quran, the dangers of not learning the commandments and prohibitions, turning away from the legislation and having no care or concern for the legislative knowledge. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned in his book, Miftah Dar al-Sa'ada, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says a brief statement here, فَلَوْلَا أَنْ يَكُونَ لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ فَلَوْلَا أَنْ يَكُونَ لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُؤْوِيهِ إِلَيْهِ وَلَا يُعْرِضُ عَنْهُ لَكَفَى بِهِ فَضْلًا. It was no benefit, no virtue for the student of knowledge at all, except for the fact that Allah will grant him refuge and not turn away from him and neglect him, then this would suffice as a virtue. And in the first one, he came and he seen the gathering, he found a spot, and he proceeded, and he sat down and he joined. He sat down and he joined to seek knowledge and to benefit and learn. And as a recompense for coming in this manner, awahullah. Awahullah, yani Allah granted him protection and granting him, and along with that, his aid and support, which would mean guidance and light and benefit for him. And he did not turn away from him and leave him. And if Allah, he turns away from someone and leaves them, meaning he'll leave them to their desires and to their whims and to follow their lusts, and misguidance. So in this narration, there are four individuals. In this narration, in general, there are four individuals. There is a scholar who is a teacher, and there are students who are learning, and there is one who is just joining them because he shied to turn away from them, and there is another one who rejected them and turned away and showed no care. Some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned the people that are like this. Even some of them, they mentioned the fifth one. And it's been collected by Ibn Battah and his Ibana al-Kubra, rahimahullahu ta'ala, a narration with his chain to Humayd, to Al-Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, to Abi Darda, radiyallahu anhu, that he said, كُنْ عَالِمًا أَوْ مُتَعَلِّمًا أَوْ مُسْتَمِعًا أَوْ مُحِبًّا وَلَا تَكُنْ الْخَامِسَةً فَتَهْلَكْ. He said that Abu Darda, radiyallahu anhu, he said that you should be a scholar, yani a profound person of knowledge, with knowledge, able to teach and help and benefit the people, or a student. أو متعلمًا, or a student. And if you're not able to do that, then you'll be a student. أو مستمعًا. And if you're not a student of knowledge likewise, then you'll be one who listens to the knowledge. So not everyone in the gathering is a student of knowledge or someone who has dedicated their life to seeking knowledge or is highly interested in learning any of the details of the religion, but they attend the classes and they listen to benefit and to learn their religion. So they will listen and they will benefit, but they will not strive in the same manner as the students of knowledge will strive. So in the gathering, there's a teacher, and then there are students, and then those who also attend the gatherings of the people of knowledge to listen and to benefit. So it's saying to be one of these, كُنْ عَلِمًا أَوْ مُتَعَلِمًا أَوْ مُسْتَمِعًا أَوْ مُحِبًّا. And if you're not one of these, be from those who love them. And be from those who love the scholars and love the students of knowledge and love those who listen to knowledge. Even if you're preoccupied and busy and you're not able yourself to engage in any of these affairs at all, at least you have love for them and honor and respect. And he said, radiyallahu anhu, وَلَا تَكُنْ الْخَامِسَ فَتَهْلَكَ. And do not be the fifth, or else you will perish, and you will fail. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. So Humayd, he said, rahimahullah, قَالَ قُوتُ لِلْحَسَنِ. I said to Al-Hassan, مَنْ الْخَامِسَ. Who is the fifth one? قَالَ الْمُبْتَدِعَ. The innovator. Any of the people of innovation. So this is the way, no doubt about that. Who are those who despise and do not even have love for the those who listen and study and seek the knowledge and those who teach the knowledge, the true knowledge? It is the people of innovation. They are those who turn the people away from the people of the Sunnah. Even it's been known that any some of their ways that they do until this day, like they did in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to defame the people and to blame them and to call names and to lie about them. To say, for example, Muhammadu Majnun, who was Sahir, who was Kahin, like who was Majnun, he's crazy, Muhammad is crazy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's a kadhib, he's a liar, he's a magician, he's a soothsayer, he's a fortune teller, and the likes like this, claiming lies about him. Well, they know that none of that is true themselves. They themselves know that none of that is true. This methodology continues today, and they do the likes of these affairs to the people of the Sunnah. They say to them whenever they run out of avenues to attempt to spread their falsehood, they say, oh, he's a Wahhabi, or this masjid is Wahhabi. Even some of them, they will say to their people before they go to a Mamlaka Arabiya, before they go for Umrah, before they go for Hajj, and the likes like this, you have to be careful for the Wahhabiya. And the Sheikh Abdul Razak, he mentioned this before, Hafidhahu Allah Ta'ala, that he has heard this from the people. And that they will say in their countries, when you go there, you have to watch out for the Wahhabiyya. And you have to watch out for the Wahhabiyya. And they're going to try to mislead you. They're going to try to misguide you. And they will say, and the sign that you know you come across one, is that all they're going to say to you is, قَالَ اللَّهُ قَالَ رَسُولُهُ قَالَ اللَّهُ قَالَ رَسُولُهُ قَالَ اللَّهُ قَالَ. All they're going to say to you, Allah says this, the messenger said that. Allah says this, the messenger said that. If you hear these people, watch out. Any what kind of Muslim would not want to hear that? And a Muslim, this is all he's going to look for. But these people have been raised upon blind following their scholars and their forefathers and the likes like this, and blind following the statements of the people without any evidence. Without any evidence and without any proof. They're not accustomed to this affair. It's not accustomed for them to hear, Allah said this in his book. And the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said this in this book. And from here, the people of knowledge have derived these rulings. This is not common for them. So they're warning them, whenever you hear the people saying this, Allah, he said this, Allah, the messenger, he said that, sallallahu, watch out, be careful. Watch out, be careful. Recently, not my last visit, but recently, I visited a community. And it's not a community that, you know, is established any clearly. It's some laymen and the likes like this. And they don't have a teacher there. And alhamdulillah, I gave the khutbah. Yani shay bi shay yudhkar. I gave the khutbah, and after that, I gave a cleanse. The khutbah is about the proper understanding of the shahadatain. And likewise, the correct understanding and the methodology of the salaf. And the khutbah and the talk after maghrib was, you need to emphasize this affair. To emphasize this affair. But alhamdulillah, Allah guided us to the methodology of the Salaf and the methodology of Ahl Sunnah. And that's what we say. Allah, he says this, قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي كِتَابِ الْكَرِيمِ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَخْرَجُ الْبُخَارِي أَخْرَجُهُ مُسْلِمُ. Like this, we mentioned the evidence is Allah. Our life is based upon the Quran and the Sunnah. Alhamdulillah, this is a favor. Many of us, maybe you're young and you're raised upon this way, you don't know the trials that other people have gone through or other people are going through now. And this is my point. These people, I was informed from some others that attended that they were completely shocked and amazed. They never heard anything like that. They said they're saying sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like so many times, like subhanallah. How many times is he gonna say it? How many times is he gonna say the name of the messenger? They found it to be something different. They were not aware. And nobody came to their community and taught them the Quran and the Sunnah like this. Rather, they're coming to there and they're teaching them yani about politics and about democracy and teaching them about the other foolishness and whatever they're learning from the religion, they're clearly not learning in the proper manner. So it was strange for them to hear قَالَ اللَّهُ قَالَ رَسُولُهُ yani to mention yani in one lesson yani عشرات الأدلة to mention in one class yani in 45 minutes yani tens or more evidences from the Quran and Sunnah, and to talk about that yani briefly, alhamdulillah. So this is a great favor and a great blessing, a great favor and a great blessing to be upon the good way, the way of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. Well, radiyallahu anhum. So a person, the point is, he will either be from the scholars, the strong students and teachers, or he'll be a student himself yani learning, and or he will be those who listen and benefit from them and aid and support them. Aid and support them with finances and with encouragement and with whatever other means, with making dua, he's with them. And if not, even then, he's from those who love them. He's from those who love them and honor them, and those besides them, then they will perish. وَلِيَذَبِ اللَّهِ. So a believer, he loves knowledge. He loves knowledge and he loves the people of knowledge. And loving knowledge and the people of knowledge is deen. Deenun yudanu Allahu bihi. This is a religion, a deen, a way of life that one he will. He will believe in and follow, seeking nearness to Allah by way of that. Seeking nearness to Allah by way of that. The author, he says, Rahimahullah, qala Qatada, fi qawlihi wa min an-nasi man yashtari lahu al-hadithi li yudilla an sabilillahi bighayri ilmin. Al-ayah. La'allahu alla yakuna anfaqa malan wa bihasbi imri'in min al-dalala an yakhtara hadith al-batil ala hadithi al-haq. Ala hadithi al-haq. The author, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and Qatada, he said about the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, and of mankind is he who purchases idle talks, and he's singing and music to mislead men from the path of Allah without knowledge, and he takes it, any the path of Allah or the verses of the Quran by way of mockery, for such there will be a humiliating torment in the hellfire. And for such there will be a humiliating torment in the hellfire. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهُ الْحَدِيثِ لِيُضِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَيَتَّخِذَهَا هُزُوًا أُولَئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ أُولَئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ الْجَزَاءُ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ. Whenever they mock the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal, whenever they mock and belittle the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal, their punishment will be a humiliating punishment. Not only would it be a painful punishment, but a humiliating and despicable punishment. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْجَزَاءُ مِجِنْسِ الْأَمَنِ. So Qatada, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, with regards to this verse, لَعَلَّهُ أَلَّا يَكُونَ أَنْفَقَ مَالًا. يَنِي مُؤْمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي. The word yashtari, it means to purchase. It means to purchase. But here, Allah knows best what he's referring to. He says, Allah, most likely, he didn't spend any money. He's not spending any money. He's not, what does it mean, purchasing? Like he says, yakhtar, yani yastahib, yani he'll prefer and he will choose this. This is something that he will like and he'll be inclined toward. He'll be inclined towards. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهُ الْحَدِيثِ. And from mankind, there are those who prefer. Those who prefer and they choose willingly the idol and the vain talk. The idol and the vain talk, like singing and music and the likes like this. It's been narrated from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that he said, Wallahi yirghina, wallahi yirghina, wallahi yirghina. And I swear by Allah it's music, singing. I swear by Allah it's music. I swear by Allah it's music. I mean, what's being referred to here? And Allah knows best, this is any referring to one aspect. But in reality, this verse entails many aspects of falsehood and vain and evil and lowly talk. From that, singing and music. From that, singing and music. So this is from the worst of the ways. And music and the love for music and the preference for music will never gather in the heart of a person along with the love of the Quran. And one of them or the other is going to overpower the other and remove the other. And this is from the ways of the enemies of Islam today to try to involve the youth and the Muslims in general in music. Even some of them, they claim to have Islamic music. And this is all falsehood and lies. This is from the ways of the Sufiya, the enemies of the Sunnah. The enemies of the Sunnah. And those who introduced an-Nashid Islamiyah, so-called Islamiyah, these are the Sufiya. They're the ones who dancing and singing and the likes like this is part of their religion. As for the people of Sunnah, as for Abu Bakr and Umar, radiallahu anhuma, they were not singing an-Nashid Islamiyah. They're not singing an-Nashid Islamiyah. And they're not doing the likes of this. And the Tabi'un after them, they're not doing the likes with this. And the four Imams, they're not doing the likes of this. They're not making up Islamic songs and Islamic music. This is all falsehood. This is all falsehood in the foul and lowly way. It's the Sufiya who have introduced the likes of these affairs, and many people, because of a weakness in faith, they have taken to that, and they have shown preference for that, and because of this, their faith becomes weaker and weaker. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. So music is a foul and lowly way. Even if it's ascribed falsely to Al-Islam, it's even more foul and lowly. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. And some people, they do the likes of these today just to make money. Everything becomes Islamic sometimes. And this is Islamic this, Islamic that. And all they want to do is try to trick the believers to purchasing it. All they want from this is to purchase this, Islamic that. And different commodities and different items, they add the word Islam to it in order to get it to go and through the markets and for people to purchase it and buy it. So to beware of the likes of this affairs, to be aware of the likes of these affairs. So there's a great warning for this again. And this is how a person, he will turn away from the Quran. And he'll turn away from knowledge by advancing upon music and lowly and vain and idle talk, speaking about things that have no benefit, that have no benefit. After this, the author, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, babun ma ja'a fit taghanni, babun ma ja'a fit taghanni bil Qur'an, the chapter about reciting the Qur'an in a beautiful manner. He says, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ما أذن الله لشيء ما أذن لنبي يتغنى بالقرآن. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه, he mentioned that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, Allah does not listen to anything as he listens to a prophet reciting the Quran in a nice and pleasant tone. In a nice and pleasant tone. ما أذن, أذن, أذنن. الأذن is a السماع, is a السماع. So ما أذن يعني مستمع. It has the same meaning. ما أذن, ما أذن الله, ما أذن الله. So this is from the attributes of Allah عز وجل. الأذن بالفتحتين تحريك. الأذن, الأذن يعني السماع. Allah عز وجل, He hears all things. He hears all things. سبحانه وتعالى. Allah does not listen to anything as He listens to a prophet reciting the Quran in a pleasant tone, meaning that this is something that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah, He hears all things, no doubt. And Allah, He hears all things, no doubt. وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ, in one wording, لِنَبِيٍّ حَسَنِي أَسْوَتِي يَتَغَنَّ بِالْقُرْآنِ يَجْهَرُ بِهِ أَخْرَجَاهُ. and in one narration to a prophet with a nice voice reciting the Quran in a pleasant tone out loud.
He mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, wa Abi Lubabah.
وعن أبي لبابة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ليس منا من لم يتغنى بالقرآن رواه أبو داود بسند جيد. أبو لبابة رضي الله عنه narrated that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم he said the one who does not recite the Quran in a nice and pleasant tone is not from us. The one who does not recite the Quran in a nice and pleasant tone is not from us. Is not from us. So these narrations here, The first one, ما أذن الله لشيء ما أذن لنبي يتغنى بالقرآن. And likewise, the ليس منا من لم يتغنى بالقرآن. There are other narrations likewise similar, clarifying these meanings. And from that is that which is narrated by Bara ibn Azib رضي الله عنه, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, زينوا القرآن بأصواتكم, that you should adorn the Quran with your voices, adorn the Quran with your voices. And also in one wording of this narration by Al-Hakim, the Prophet, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, حسنوا القرآن بأصواتكم فإن الصوت الحسن يزيد القرآن حسنا, that you should beautify the Quran with your voices. Any meaning, recite it with a beautiful voice and a beautiful tone according to the best of your ability. Because indeed the nice voice will increase the Quran and its goodness. So here is the recommendation for reciting the Quran with a beautiful voice and with a pleasant tone and in a good manner. And the chapter title says Babu ma ja'a fi at-taghanni bil Quran. And this is the verb that's used in these narrations. Taghanna, yataghanna, taghanna, taghanniyan. لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَتَغَنَّ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَا أَذِنَ اللَّهُ لِشَيْءٍ مَا أَذِنَ لِنَبِيٍ يَتَغَنَّ بِالْقُرْآنِ. Some of the people misunderstood this verb, what is intended from this word, and they sing the Qur'an with melodies and with rules of singing and the notes of singing that likes like this. And this is not what is intended, and this is not correct. But rather, what is the proper understanding of making it تَغَنِّ بِالْقُرْآنِ is that a person, he will learn the rules of التَّجْوِيدِ that have been transmitted to us from the scholars of the Quran and the recitation of the Quran. He will learn the fundamentals of the tajweed and the makharij of the huruf and the sifat of the huruf, the makharij, the points of articulation of each letter, and the description and attribute and characteristics of each letter to the best of his ability without going to extremes. And then he will learn likewise the other rulings of the recitation, like idhar and iqlab and idgham and ikhfa and the likes like these, and the mudud and the counts for the mudud, so on and so forth. And he will recite a recitation abiding by these limits. This is the manner to recite in a beautiful voice. If a person, on top of that, he was gifted with a beautiful voice, actually his voice itself is beautiful, then this is light upon light. So the beautiful recitation is by reciting it to the best of one's ability as it was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without going to extremes. Many people, they go to extremes. They carry the elongation longer than it's supposed to, or they put it in a place that it's not required, or they neglect it and do not pronounce it as it should be pronounced, or they sing the gunna and the likes like they're singing it, or they recite it and the melody like they're singing, not following the rules of tajweed, and then along with that, beautifying their voice, whether they are singing it, they're completely singing it. Waliyadhu billah, this is not allowed. The Quran is greater than that. It's not music. It's not a song. It's not something that you sing. It's a recitation. It's a recitation that is recited, and it has a mode of recitation. So it's of utmost importance and great benefit for every believer in general to learn the fundamentals of al-qira'ah wa tilawah, the fundamentals of tajweed, so he can read the book of Allah to the best of his ability. Then if he finds himself that he has strong desire to learn more, or that he's gifted in this affair, then he will go to greater details. So there are mistakes that he will learn that are major. He will avoid those. Every believer should avoid those. And then after that, there are minor mistakes that no one will be able to identify except the people who specialize in recitation. and the people who have firm knowledge in the science of tajweed and the rules of recitation. So the one who learns the foundations and then he's proficient in that, he will move on to learn those detailed errors and mistakes to adjust them. But one, he will not go to extremes. And this is from the tricks of the devil, likewise, to make people go to extremes in tajweed, to cause them to forget or to cause them to not be able to ponder and reflect over the meanings. So the whole wisdom and the benefit of beautifying the voice with the recitation and following in this manner is so that the recitation will be more beneficial, because the Quran is beautified in this manner. The beautiful, the Quran no doubt is beautiful in itself, but whenever it's recited with a voice that is beautiful, with a voice that is beautiful, and according to the rules that have been transmitted to us, then it's at its peak of beauty, and likewise of benefit. And a person, he will be able to reflect and to ponder. So the wisdom of this issue here, then this is a threat. He's not from us. And so this is from those narrations of the threat and the likes like this. And this is a great encouragement, likewise, to recite in this manner. To adorn one's voice with the Quran. You need to beautify one's voice by learning the rules of tajweed, the fundamentals of that, abiding by them, and then according to one's voice, the beauty is a gift from Allah Azza wa Jalla. But even if a person, he did not necessarily have a beautiful voice, but he recited it according to these rules and he followed them, then his recitation will be beautiful. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. But somebody who was gifted along with that, with a beautiful voice as well, then no doubt his recitation will be more beautiful. So the point of the beautification of the recitation is so that a person, he'll be able to reflect and to ponder and to benefit more. And he'll be able to realize those commandments and those prohibitions and how they're coupled with the promise of paradise and the threat of the hellfire. And he will remember and take admonition. And for those brothers who are not fluent in the Arabic language, then I advise them to strive to learn, to strive with your time and with your money and with yourself and your all that you have. And need to learn the Arabic language so that you can recite the Quran and you can understand the benefit. But even until then, I also advise you to listen to the Quran being recited, for example, in audio, and take the Muhsin Khan translation and read along with that and be sincere, and inshallah that benefit will come in your heart. And those who have had the sweetness of faith and the benefit of the Quran come in their heart, and their heart break from that and their eyes water with tears from the recitation, then this is from the best feeling in life. And we hope that for ourselves and for all of you, to be able to benefit from the recitation. So this is the wisdom from adorning the voice and beautifying the voice. Not to go to extremes, not to sing, not to use maqamat and the likes like this, and not to make the mudud go up and down. This is blameworthy with the people of knowledge. Like this, like making the bouncing down and making the jaw go up and down and the likes like this. This is not praiseworthy. This is not proper. This is not good. And going to extremes in the gunna likewise for a long time, and also making it go up and down and so on and so forth. Going to takalluf, doing too much. This is not praiseworthy. Or putting the med where it's not supposed to be. Imam Ahmed, he was asked about these madud and the tamqit and the likes like this. And he said to him, "What's your name?" He said, "Muhammad." He said, "Would you like it if I said, yeah, Muhammadu? yeah, Muhammadu. Would you like it if I called you like that?" And his name is Muhammad, not Muhammadu, right? There's no med there. So if you put a med there and it doesn't belong there, then you're not saying it right. Would you like somebody to call you like that? No, I wouldn't. So he's just making the example. So you don't put the med where it doesn't belong, And you don't also take it from where it doesn't, from where it does belong. So this requires learning. All of these in reality, the med and the likes like this, and the shiddah, these are letters and they have meanings. Maybe whenever a person is learning, before he learns before he's fluent in the Arabic language, it will not stand out for him, but it has meanings, and the meanings will change if you change the med, or you give the med where it doesn't belong, or you put the med where it doesn't belong. We've seen that in the adhan, huh? Who remembers that? Somebody said, "What are they bil Allahu Akbar?" Now, what is Akbar? The Prophet of Kabir. The Kabir is a drum. This means drums. Akbar is drums. So if somebody says Allahu Akbar, that means Allah is? Wa'iyadhu billah. That's a foul meaning. That's a fail, meaning, so that all, how did that happen? Because he elongated one, he's supposed to say Allahu Akbar. There's no elongation. But in the Arabic language, if you elongate it, you say Allah, if you say Akbar, the word changes to another word. Akbar means greatest. Akbar means drums. The point is, as a cross. Yeah, so maybe somebody, he's thinking he's just beautifying the adhan to the peak of beauty. Allahu Akbar. He's saying this foul statement. He's saying this foul statement. This is the outcome of jahl. Of jahl. Kam muridin al-khayri lam yusibbu. How many people want to do good? He's thinking he's making the best adhan. In reality, he's saying the worst statement. In reality, he's saying the worst statement. How did he find himself in the situation? Because of jahl. Because of jahl. And because of speaking before learning. Before learning. So this is the principles in our deen. We learn before we speak. And we learn before we act. And we move upon knowledge. In this manner, a person, he can be saved from many trials and from many tribulations. Some of the people of knowledge from them, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah, he mentioned the meaning of this narration. He interpreted another meaning. And he just mentioned, because the people of knowledge, they discussed this. He said, "Man lam laysa minna, man lam yataghanna bil Qur'an." He mentioned yataghanni bil Qur'an al-istighna. So he translated or he interpreted that word at-taghanni to mean al-istighna, which means to suffice. Which means to suffice. And the language carries this meaning, and it could be understood in that light, but Allah knows best when we gather these narrations and we look at them and in one light. It's the interpretation of beautifying the voice is more clear to what is intended, and Allah knows best. So therefore, a believer, he will strive to learn these rulings of at-tajweed, and he'll beautify his voice in that manner without going to extremes, to the best of his ability. To the best of his ability. And with this, alhamdulillah, the author, he says, Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam, and Allah the Most High, he knows best. Akhiruhu wa sallallahu wa sallama ala Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And send the salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and alhamdulillah. With that, we have completed the work Fadail al-Quran by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullahu ta'ala. May Allah grant him mercy and pardon and forgiveness, and reward him the best reward for his efforts. And no doubt this book was very beneficial, and I highly encourage the brothers to benefit from this book, and the recordings are available. And we had discussed a number of important topics and creed and methodology found in this work, and many of the works of the author, alhamdulillah. And with that, the classes with these classes with your brother Abu Abdurrahman, they will be postponed for 2 weeks, inshallah. And Imam Khalif will cover, and we will resume after 2 weeks, inshallah, in preparation for al-hajj. In preparation for hajj, we have Hajj coming, so we'll read a book about Hajj and then also resume Masail al-Jahiliyyah, and then after we finish the issues of Hajj, we go back to Umdat al-Ahkam, inshallah, which we are in the chapter of al-Buyu', the chapter of buying and selling and transactions. I had some benefits from Adwa al-Bayan. I wanted to read about the verse in Surah Al-Kahf here. You can refer to it here. I found it. This book is in the library over there. I forgot my book, but I found it. Alhamdulillah, volume 4, page number 143. You will find amazing benefits that he mentioned with regards to the verse in the previous chapter. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.